All right, ladies and gentlemen, believe it or not, we have hit podcast number 2. Very excited for our guests this evening, but first, a shout out to our sponsor, BenjaminScriver.com. Unfortunately, BenjaminScriver.com has expired, just like the hopes and dreams of the people of Mount Lake Terrace, because the voters there were too fat, dumb, stupid, lazy, or possibly stoned to get to the polls. Your lost Mount Lake Terrace is Hollywood's gain, because now we have Hollywood Ben Scriver. BenjaminScriver.com. It was good in theory until it got footed. And now, on with the show. Women knocked down, Ben hurts inside. He's gotta take a stand, he will never hide. When you hurt women, you hurt his pride. He's a real man, and he won't let it slide. Ben is a real American, fights for the rights of women. Ben is a real American, fight for what's right. He fights for the life. All right, and welcome to the second edition of the Threads of Time podcast. I have a very special guest for you this evening. You might know him as the Phoenix Rising, the Phoenix Risen. I'm just going to call him Ben. Welcome to the show, Ben.
Hey, man, I'm more than happy to be here, and hopefully I don't offend too many people on the way.
If you didn't, it would not be a show. You're on for ratings, baby. So
yeah, that's right. No, I don't think that my reputation is necessarily one of being genteel, so we'll see how this goes.
So right before we started, you told me that you're actually, this is like the perfect PR thing. You are taking this call from a country western bar.
Yeah, that's right. I got off work maybe an hour and a half ago, and there's a place on property called Saddle Ranch, and I'm probably 6 shots in and maybe 5 or 6 beers in. Let's call it I'm 2.5 sheets to the wind.
That's wait, what do you mean on property? Like where you work, there's a bar?
Yeah, so I work with Universal Studios, and I do like event coordination for them, and we just recently opened up a Minion Despicable Me style attraction thing, and they called me in today to help wrangle minions. I basically babysat a bunch of 5 foot and 5 foot two people in yellow Twinkie costumes doing a media event today. And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to get home in time for the podcast. So I decided to just go and have as many drinks as humanly possible before coming on with you.
Well, you're not slurring yet, so that's a pretty good sign. So what, there's no rule against you actually drinking at the job?
So I'm technically off the clock, but on property, so I can imbibe, but I cannot cause a ruckus. It's one of these things where they accept that people will take advantage of the discounts that we get on property.
Sure.
As long as that doesn't cause a social problem with guests, things like that. So me being a standing citizen and alcoholic that I am, 50% alcohol is kind of hard to turn down on certain days.
Oh, so, you actually get a discount. They're encouraging you to drink.
Yeah, that's right. No, they're saying, hey, do it here where we can monitor, as opposed to out there where you might cause a problem and affect your work day. So
that is like the backfire parent move, where it's like, duh, just drink in the basement, bring your friends over, and then they're the ones that get busted.
Yeah, that's right. I would rather you go, you know, I'd rather you be here where I know it's safe and go out amongst your friends where there's no supervision, but little do they know they're encouraging all sorts of debauchery.
So what is the over-under on the number of times you drink at work before you rage?
Fortunately, the other day, maybe 3 or 4 days ago, I had a drink or two, and mine changed plans at the last minute, and I did the unfortunate yet predictable PR thing of, this is not acceptable, how dare you, blah, blah, blah. People are relying on you in this circumstance, and was, you know, face-to-face and toe-to-toe with a man that's probably, you know, 2 or 3 inches taller than me and probably has 40 pounds on me, which, if you've met me in person, which, you know, Baz, you have, I'm not necessarily a little man. So it was an interesting moment. But, yeah, it might have happened 2 or 3 days ago.
Wait. So what's the background on this? Was he harassing a damsel in distress?
It wasn't entirely that stereotypical of me. But, no, it was one of these things where we had mutually planned to do a thing, and I had invited some ladies out to join us. And in the moment, he decided to change the plans, and I reacted poorly, and I'm sure you know how that goes if you have read anything I've ever written ever on the board. So, yeah, no, it was fun. It was interesting, and he's one of my good friends here, so he understood, just, you know, not in the moment. So there was a good day or two all right, babe, you need to calm down and not talk to me, and then we'll settle this. And we didn't, and everything was good. So,
yeah, that's, you know. Is it somebody you work with?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's a coworker, one of these things. And what's funny is he was out with a bunch of other folks that we also happen to work with tangentially. We share the title. We don't necessarily work directly with one another. And one of them ended up going to HR about there being a confrontation on property, and all amounted to nothing. There was a real moment where I went through all of my social media and dropped everybody that I possibly worked with, just in case.
Smart move. Actually, I want to ask you more about Los Angeles, because it really intrigues me what you're doing there. But just to back up for a second, what was the original damsel in distress story that started that whole generalization about you?
Well, I don't know if there was...
Or was it more than one story?
I don't know if there was one genesis. I know that we had originally talked... I had talked on the forums about... react poorly, and like 8 of the however many times it may be that I've been arrested have resulted from somebody being, you know, physically or verbally aggressive to a woman. And then it just kind of spiraled from there that, you know, Afro and, Mac and Ken have given me a hard time about, oh, well, you know, better not have a woman around or get aggressive with her, or PR is going to pop off, which is not necessarily 100% the case, but isn't necessarily inaccurate either. So it's one of those things where I think it was just kind of an amalgam of things where they knew that was a hot button issue, and then they just started poking at it as much as humanly possible, as, you know, the TCL fellas are wont to do.
Yeah. Well, you know, the first thing that before the defending woman thing that we like to poke fun was the glamour shot, because the very first picture we saw of you was a very posed, beautiful picture of a perfect man.
So I actually, I don't know how much of a surprise this will be to anybody. But I actually keep that photo, that headshot of me, a picture of that in my iPhone, as a go-to for when I'm feeling especially douchey or next level, like, down on myself because I'm like, listen, you used to be pretty, but you also used to be a real asshole. Look, see, here's the evidence. And it's one of those things that I pull out whenever I get a little bit too big-headed or satisfied with where I am or who I am. It's like, listen, remember, you were this guy. You were not this guy too long ago. And there's literally, like, if not hundreds of people that have seen this and have laughed at you because of this. Don't get such big head there, fella.
The reason people give you a hard time about it is because it is a perfect picture. Listen, I have this theory on glamour shots. You can, if you need to have an honest opinion of how pretty or ugly you are, you go to glamour shots, and the more stuff that they throw in the picture, the uglier you are. If they add a feather boa, you're kind of ugly. If they make you put your hand up next to your face with the feather boa, next thing you know, they're putting on sunglasses and a skull cap. You are ugly as shit. That picture,
right.
There's nothing there. It's just a straight headshot. You're beautiful. You're beautiful.
So I'll post it on Facebook and go, hashtag no filter.
That's right.
This is who I am and what I, yeah, no, I appreciate you saying so, but I also know I was a real asshole then, and I have those tendencies now, but I like to think that they're motivated a little bit differently. So, yeah, it's one of those things that I keep in my back pocket that is backhandedly comforting and humbling. It's one of those things where it's like, well, yeah, you used to be pretty and you still can, but also, you know, when you were pretty, you were a real pain in the ass. Because if you go back to like 2002, 2003 and read some of the stuff that I wrote on the board, it will remind you very much of younger forum members that have a little bit of a divisive personality, and I was absolutely one of those guys. And I, you know, it's one of those things where if I'm going to be rubbing folks the wrong way, is it going to be for the right reason, if that makes any sense at all?
Yeah. So let me back up to what I wanted to ask you before, because I think this is kind of where your story of right now is. Like,
sure.
How long ago did you move to L.A.?
I came to L.A. in very early November.
And why did you pick L.A.? You had some roots there, right? Or you had lived there before?
Yeah, so it's one of those things where, and I know you know about this, and I know a lot of TCL people know about this. When T passed, I was a drunken mess for a good year. And like I saw you actually about a year ago now, this time.
Yep.
It was when I went to Wisconsin. And I was right in the middle of it, and I'm sure you could testify, bigger than I've ever been, bloated, a ridiculous drunk. And about September of last year, I decided, well, I can either continue to be a ridiculous drunk, and this is going to be the life I live, or I can, you know, try to pursue a thing, and what is it that I want to pursue? So I started thinking about it, and I lived in Southern California in 99, 2000, and had some friends down here and some folks that were in the entertainment industry down here, and I really decided that I wanted to write and try to create and put my efforts towards affecting other people, because I knew that I'm not gonna have a big family or anything like that. So, and I'm not religious. So it was one of those things where either I spend my life doing nothing at all, or I try to make myself into something. And the only way that I can do that is to affect people. And I think that I'm a reasonably decent storyteller. And so that's what I chose to do. I came down here in November with the idea of writing and maybe doing some comedy work and maybe doing some stand-up and things like that. And I've been working towards that, and it's been going pretty well so far.
Yeah, man. Tell me about that, because, you know, I've considered doing stand-up on occasion, but you went up there and did it, and it sounds like it's going all right. I mean, it had to be scary as shit the first time you did it, though, huh?
Yeah, no, I was... It's kind of ridiculous. I went to school for theater, and I'm used to doing other people's material. You know, you go up, you do the best you can, but at the end of the day, somebody else wrote it, somebody else, it's somebody else's vision. With comedy, you kind of sink or swim on your own ideas and your own delivery, and 100% of it is you, and whether or not you choose to be vulnerable or crass or whatever the case may be, it's just a guy or a gal standing in front of a room and saying, hey, you know what? It would be really cool if you liked me. It would be amazing if you laughed at this. And it's really thrilling because in the moment, you get that instant feedback. You know right away whether or not this room enjoys you, this room doesn't. And I love it. I love it to death. I love failing at it as much as I do being successful at it. And I've been lucky enough to meet some folks that have made a career of it, and they think that there's some level of potential, and they've been kind of guiding me along, and I can't be happier for it and more grateful and just really happy with the way things are going.
How often are you doing it? Every week, I assume?
Yeah. I've been doing stand-up with open mics, like two or three nights a week at a couple of different venues. And last week, I got a call after doing a roundtable where it was me and three or four or five other, I guess for lack of a better term, up-and-coming people that are trying to make a name at this. And one very, very established, successful comedian that actually enjoys giving people an opportunity.
What is a roundtable?
So what they do is, it's basically, hey, come in and pitch your ideas. What is it that you think is funny? What is it that you have along these lines? And the one that I happened to go to was, I don't know if you're familiar, there's a show on Comedy Central called At Midnight.
Yeah, I saw it.
It's a Chris Hardwick show, and the roundtable I was at was basically a, hey, we're going to do four or five of you, we're going to bring you in, and we're basically going to run through a dry read of At Midnight and volunteer whatever ideas you have, throw out ideas for games and skits, and then we're going to run through them, and then we're going to act as if you are panelists on the show and try to be in that moment, and we'll go from there. And it was one of those things where we ran through all of it, and the comedian that was in the room was like, okay, all right, and that was great, and I'm going to get in contact with a couple of you, and you guys are all amazing, and keep, you know, doing the work that you're doing, you know, regular glad-handing, thanks for coming by stuff. But then, I think 3 or 4 days ago, I got an email from that comedian saying, hey, I want you to write 10 bits. Do it in my voice, and I might be purchasing two or three from you. And then also, I have a friend of mine that's working next Wednesday, and his opener dropped out, which he'd be comfortable doing 7 bits. And I
hey,
was
Ben.
Astonished. Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry to cut you off. Are you outside right now?
I am. Is there a wind issue?
Yeah. It's coming through really big. It was kind of there before, but now it's like getting a little overpowering. It's drowning you out.
No worries. How is this better?
Yeah,
or?
That's perfect now again.
Okay, no worries.
All right, so
you want me to pick up? Or?
Yeah. So you're writing this 7 minutes, and so you normally the open mic is 5 minutes or 3 minutes.
Yeah. So most open mics, what they'll do is, you'll get 3 to 5 minutes, and then a candle or a light will go on, and that's your time. And I really just kind of use that to work out individual bits, but I never really had 5 to 6, 7 minutes that kind of flowed together that all had the same theme, things like that. I just kind of got on stage and started telling stories. And, you know, kind of similar to you, a lot of your humor comes from real life experiences, things like that. And so I just kind of got up and started telling stories. And so when he said, you have 7 minutes, I just kind of said, yes, right away. I will absolutely do that, and I would love to, and I have it. And so for the last 3 or 4 days, I've been a little bit stressed, thinking, I don't know that I have 7 minutes that all go together. Like, I can figure it out, hopefully, but I don't necessarily have that in my pocket. You know what I mean?
You know what you need to do a bit about?
What's that?
Is running for city council.
So the funny part about that is that's one of my go-to stories with people. I still have the sign. And the other night I went to the UCB theater and I did a whole thing about, all right, so my name is Benjamin Scriver and I'm here to win your vote for the honorary mayor of Hollywood. If you listen to any of Andy Daly's stuff, he does a thing where he uses the honorary mayor of Hollywood on like Earwolf. And I was like, all right, I can bite on that a little bit. I have this fantastic city council sign that was made from, an anonymous donor. And I was like, well, I can work with this. And it's actually one of the things that I've kind of incorporated because it's an amazing story. It's a great fucking story. I love it to death.
Yeah, you know, that was one of my favorite moments was getting all prepared for that because I thought I totally got one over on you. I was so excited to get it all set up and I was laughing the whole time I was setting up the website and then kind of scripting out the video and all that stuff. I was like, this is going to be the best prank ever. I was so excited about it.
Yeah, no, and to set up for people that don't know, this is like last November, or no, not even last, it was November 2012. And I was, hey, you know, Jason, I'm in a weird situation. I enjoy a pizza dinner. How about you do that? And you're like, yeah, okay, I'll make that happen. But you're going to have to let me post on your Facebook these three things, and you have to act as if they're
factual, yeah.
Right. Yeah. And I was like, okay, sure, whatever. That's fine. And I honestly thought in the moment that I was getting a free pizza dinner that you were just going to wash out on it, that you were going to do the thing that Jason does and have, like, huge dreams and, like, huge aspirations, and you were going to find another thing that was going to capture your interest within the meantime, and I was just going to kind of fall by the wayside. And that is not what happened at all.
Yeah, I think it was like a month later.
Yeah, no, it was a good, yeah, it was after the first of the year.
I started working on it right away, though.
Yeah, no, it was great. Like, some of my closest friends are still asking me about my city council run, and I have to tell them that was, as much as I would love to claim that as my own thing, I had nothing to do with that.
Well, but
that was you, my buddy Jason in Wisconsin, that had more time than sense and came up with this amazingly funny thing.
That's true. The only thing that I didn't think went well about it is afterwards, like 2 days later, you and I are talking, and as opposed to being mad, like, how am I going to get out of this or whatever, you said, you know, maybe I can win. you started getting really into it, like, maybe I can make a difference in Mount Lake Terrace after we unseat Doug McCardell out of seat three.
Well, the funny thing about that is I've never, how do I put this? I have a little bit of a twisted sense of humor. So when somebody that I know comes at me in a way that is kind of next level and nothing at all that I anticipated, I feel like it would be super hypocritical if I rebelled against it. So when you came to me with it, I was like, fuck it, let's do that. That's amazing. That is much more intelligent and funny and innovative than anything I could have come up with. So yeah, why not? And you had this whole website dedicated to it and Facebook page. And not only that, but correct me if I'm wrong, but set up a way in which if it was Google search, that it would be the first hit coming back. Is that right?
Yeah, you know, I didn't do any paid search or anything. I just put in a whole bunch of, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, but I was put in a bunch of tags and whatever, and then it just started popping up. And even, I think to this, well, I don't know if it still does, but at least at the time when this website was up and running, if you typed in City Council Mount Lake Terrace, it was the very first thing. It was Ben Scriver for... So
well, that's, so I mean, no. Listen, I'm not necessarily a stranger to being self-involved, and I've Googled myself many, many times. And up until the point that you did this, my name came up on like the seventh page of results about a thing that I did in high school. And as soon as you did this, my Facebook, the Ben Scriver for City Council, my LinkedIn, and like another site all hit me as number like 1, 2, 3, and 4. And this is the first time I was ever reachable on the internet.
You won the internet.
Yeah, that's right. But no, in reality, you won. I was just the vessel. But before that, there was a Ben Scriver who was a Canadian singer-songwriter that does like acoustic guitar music.
I bet, and he was so pissed when all this went down.
I hope so. I fucking hope so. I hope that at one point he was like, well, somebody would Google my name and it would go right to my YouTube page and they would see my stuff. And now there's this jackass in northern Seattle that's running for city council and nobody's seeing my shit. I desperately hope that's true.
And I really hope that he thought it was real and then went to the page and started reading the testimonials and said, these aren't real. I knew Ben when he was a little boy. What the fuck does that mean?
No, that's great. No, that's fantastic. And, you know, honestly, like, there's jokes to be had here and there's a lot of ridiculousness. But to be perfectly honest, this is the moment where, you know, the roast gets real. In that moment in time, I was a depressed, drunken mess, and this was a thing that helped me feel better about things. So regardless of your intent, it was an amazing experience, and I loved every minute of it and still do. Like I said, I still have the sign. So thank you, sir.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So, but, you know, when it comes to pranks, it's all about paying it forward, right? So after I pranked you, I got to bring this up since we're talking about pranks. I got to talk about the pizza Reds prank. So that prank started with me buying you a pizza, and somehow you paid it forward. Why did you decide to send it to Reds? I don't remember. I honestly don't remember the story.
Yeah, no. So my reasoning wasn't as magnanimous or as fun-loving as yours. My thing was, I have two very, very large pet peeves. And one of them is being dismissive of other folks, whether or not it's their viewpoint on things, their stance, or just their existence on the board, things like that. And for whatever reason, I don't even remember the trigger, but I was like, you know what? Rez is going into business for himself and not listening to what people have to say. So I'm going to let him know that he's not untouchable, but I'm not going to do it in a malicious way. I'm just going to send him a meat lover's pizza. And it was one of those things that in the moment, like I had talked to, I don't know if I should say screen names or whatever, but I had talked to 4 or 5 other owners. And they're like, well, you could do this. You could send poop anonymously, or you could send, you know, whatever anonymous prank that you can think of. You have a singing telegram or things like this, and you could do this all anonymously. It's like, no, it's not that big a deal. We've set the precedent with pizza. I'm going to send them pizza. And to the delight of me and the consternation of him and a couple of other owners, Reds reacted beautifully and lost his shit. And it was amazing. I know there was a witch hunt at a moment, and for a while he thought it was a completely different owner. And I was like, well, be angry at that guy, and that's great. That's fantastic. But once it got back to me that they were thinking about disciplinary action, I was like, nah, fuck that. Let them know it's me, because I'm not going to have somebody else catch the rap for this stupid thing that I did.
Who
did
they think it was?
I know that at one point he thought it was either Afro or Aaron, and it was more about the whole, and this was before Afro and Red were buddy-buddy. I know at one moment he thought it was Afro. I know at one moment he thought it was Aaron or Orange and Blue or Rando or however you know him.
I call him Oyo, but it's really boobs, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even, so this is how stupid I am. I had no idea that Oyo was the text speech for boobs until way later. And I was like, what kind of stupid fucking name is Oyo?
Me either.
Yeah, no. And once it got back to me through channels that I was not the number one, that other guys were thinking about catching a suspension or being banned or whatever for this thing just because Reds was on the warpath, I was like, you know what, that's not cool. Just throw my name out there, let them know what's up. Because I had already been in trouble with Nakula at this point. So it was one of those things where I knew I could catch heat, and it didn't really matter to me, and I didn't want somebody else catching heat. So it was, go ahead, throw my name in there and let them know.
I'll tell you, you get some flack for raging, but no one can hold a candle to Reds when he gets on the warpath, man.
Well, it's one of these things, And I love Bill. I do. And Bill, if you're listening to this, I do love you. I think you're fantastic, and I think your heart's in the right place. But I also think that Reds has a tendency to take professional criticism as a personal insult. And dividing between the two becomes a real issue. And I knew that when I was poking at him, and I kind of use that to poke at him, and that's all 100% on me. So I don't want to paint him in a negative light at all. That's one of the things that I did completely on my own.
Well, and you know, there's a history there. Well, actually, you know, as I'm thinking it through in my head, the history of the pranks and the videos and all that stuff, that really, you are the innovator of that, because all the way back at the beginning, the very first video was you sitting on the toilet for Lemke.
Yeah.
That was the very first video that we ever posted.
Yeah, but I mean, that's, while that may or may not be true, I don't know if there's one that goes before that, like Static's draft videos or whatever. There's... Jar, Mr. Huff, and yourself have completely blown those out of the water.
Quit blowing me.
I'm just saying, if you look at those in retrospect, one of these things is not like the other, and that thing happens to me shitting on a toilet. That's one of those things where in the moment it seems funny, but in retrospect, just doesn't hold a candle to the work you guys are doing.
Oh, and I'm going to put in a plug I'll have to link it in the thread, but if you have not seen Ben's video where he gives a tribute to his grandmother, you have to see that video.
Where I'm naked, ass naked again.
If you want to know where that poop comes from, see his video. You'll understand what I mean.
So, that's funny. I didn't know that certain folks had seen that. I had shown that to Ken. It was one of those things where I started thinking about where my humor comes from, the things that I find funny. And almost all of it, like, stems from loss on some level. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to sit here and I'm going to be morose in this thing about my grandmother, which is true. All that's true. She did die in a car accident. It happened like 7 years ago. And I was like, well, this would be completely absurd if I did a little bit of an in memoriam, but did it ass naked. If I had the ability, I would have done that in a church cathedral thing, having mass and then like walked away from the podium naked. That was my initial intent, but I just didn't have the means to, for that. So I just did it quickly with a friend of mine in a single shot, camera thing that happened in like maybe we did three takes in a span of 25 minutes. But
the camera wasn't moving. Why did you need a friend there? Was there a charge for full frontal? What was going on?
No, I just really wanted to show my dick to a stranger. Like that was pretty much the end of it. I was like, hey, look what I'm working with. That's right, buddy. Yeah, no, it was one of those things where him and I had started on a collaboration where I'm writing for him, and I was like, well, if you'll let me do this thing, it was kind of a prove it thing. It was like, well, if you think this could be funny, if you think that you want me to write for you, well, prove it. Well, this is a thing that I want to do that's stupid and short and makes you look at my naked ass the second day that we've known each other. And if you're going to do this, then I would be more than happy to work with you. And that's the way that went.
Is it still up on YouTube?
I believe so. I haven't pulled it, so I believe it should still be there. I haven't looked at it lately, but I imagine it is.
I've looked at it about, if it has 100 views, I'm 98 of them.
Well, that's both flattering and a little disconcerting, but that's fine. And, like, the funniest thing is, I don't know, I've been thinking about, since you told me about this, how much I would divulge. But the only reason why we hung out was because I decided to, be a part of a pretty large felony. You know about this, yes?
Yes.
So for the people that don't know, Jay and I met.
Now this is going out on the internet, as long as you don't worry about that.
I'm not
going to
say names. I'm not going to say names. I'm not going to say names. About a year ago, I was a drunken mess and living with a friend of mine, and a mutual friend came to me and was like, hey, do you want to drive with me to Wisconsin? And the only mindset that I had at the time was, don't be here and experience new things. So I was like, yeah, sure. Well, I'll absolutely do that. I know a fella in Wisconsin that I was supposed to hang out with and potentially live with years ago. So, yes, let's absolutely do that. And why? And the why ended up being that he wanted to smuggle, I'm not going to say how many, but multiple pounds of marijuana from Washington, in which it's legal to grow and sell within certain confines, to Wisconsin, in which it's not, and I guess is a seller's market. And it never really ever occurred to me, and this is how stupid I really am, exactly what I was risking when I said yes. In retrospect, I probably shouldn't have driven X amount of pounds of weed to central Wisconsin from Washington, but I'm more than happy that I did, because I ended up meeting you and Moden, who was an amazing dude, and I got a beautiful me for city council sign out of it. And I think that the story is worth the effort. So
yeah, it's an incredible story. I can vouch that it was 100% true, because I met this guy, I saw you, and it was good that you got to stay at the hotel and we got to hang out for the night. So
I just wanted to be known on the record, no contraband was ever in your hotel. There was never any crossover there.
Yeah, that would be that. You know, we run a hotel with 240 rooms. I'm sure there's plenty of contraband in there. I'm not too worried about it. I know there's hookers in there, not personally.
Why wouldn't you tell me that when I was there? You know how lonely I get.
So we actually that's a pretty funny thing too. And I know we shared it on the boards, but so we meet Moden, who is an incredible guy. Very interesting guy, but when we all got together, we went to this place called the Coliseum Bar, and we started just telling stories. And you and I are kind of boisterous, so we're drinking, we're telling stories back and forth. Moden can't get a word in edgewise, and we're thinking our stories are pretty good, great, whatever. And then, you know, Moten just pipes in with this story that starts off a little slow. You know, he's getting ready for the airport right. or wherever, hails a cab. And then right. all of a sudden the story transitions very quickly to an armed gunman gets in the back, the cab driver's right. in on it, they take him hostage, and I was like, what the fuck is going on?
Right. No, you and I are, without being outright about it, like one-upping each other. Oh, there was this time that I did this. Oh, there was this other time that this happened, and going back and forth, and we're feeling pretty good about our mutual stories and these things. And Moten, the amazing, intelligent, you know, unassuming. He's one of the most unassuming guys I've ever met. Just kind of chimes in with, oh yeah, well, this thing happened where I was held at gunpoint and taken hostage. And from that moment on, it was kind of apparent to me, I don't know about you, that our stories were not on the same level as Moten's stories. Mark's experienced some shit, and that's like I kind of pity a lot of the folks that weren't there, because I know that you guys had the meetup in Louisville and the Lemke shoe thing, and I feel like Moten's story would have fit in amazingly there.
Yeah, that was a story for the ages for sure. So you had mentioned that at one point we almost lived together, and this is the funny part right. about that story is back when, for those of you that don't know, back when we were considering living together, that's when I was homeless. We always talk about Ben right. being homeless. That's when Jason was homeless. And I was living with my mother when I came back to Wisconsin. I was down and out, and I didn't have a job. So I was at a pretty low point at that point. And I remember, Ben, having to tell you that you can't move in because my mom won't let you.
Right. Yeah, no.
It doesn't get worse than that. I'm like a 34-year-old man at the time, and my mom won't let you move in.
No. Yeah, no, and I don't necessarily know how I feel about the statement we talk about Ben being homeless. Like, it's a thing that is
a
forever thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah, well, that's, sure, why not? Good talk.
Yeah.
But on the flip side of that, had I moved to Wisconsin with you at the time, which was about a year and a half before I met Key, I would have never met her, and I would have, I know that my life would be completely different, and I'd probably be in the Midwest somewhere still. And I know that I'm happy with having had that experience, and I'm happy with where I am now. So even though at the moment it was not amazing to be told by your mother that I was not welcome, I think that in the long run it was the best way to go about things.
Yeah. So now you're living in SoCal doing creative stuff, so it all worked out. So living in SoCal, are you living in the van?
No, I'm actually, if you get out your Google Maps, if you look at the corner of Lincolnshire and Ventura, which I'll not go into much more detail than that, but...
Because we'll send a pizza.
Yeah, that's right. If you go a little bit towards Laurel Canyon, I got a nice place in between there. There's walking distance within to Universal Studios, and I still have my puppy, and things are, you know, things
nice,
are...
Nice, man. On your way back up.
Yeah, things are pretty good.
So
yeah, you know, trying.
The dog. What kind of dog is it?
Half Shih Tzu, half Chihuahua, 6 pounds of fury, and ended up being mine when I left. I left Seattle. I left a long-term dear friend of mine, and I took the dog as kind of an adoption thing, and did it before I necessarily knew that I was moving down here and getting a van and sleeping in it for a little bit. But she's been amazing and kept me sane a little bit, and kept my eye on, well, I need to do this and this and this, because Beans needs to have a nice place at night. Like, I don't really care about myself as much as I do that, well, now I'm responsible for this thing, and this thing has to live well, so how do I make that happen? You know what I mean? Like, to me, if I'm out doing stand-up and open mics every night and not making a dollar, like, that's an amazing life, because I like talking to people, I like making people laugh and affecting their day, and I don't care about the money for it. But her being what she is makes me think about, well, now, no, I need to pursue this in a little bit different way, and she's kind of kept me on the straight and narrow on those things, and I love her to death. She's been amazing.
So. Yeah, the dogs are cool. You know, I have a Chihuahua. It's the perfect dog, too, because, you know...
Hold on. Do you have, or does...
Well,
she has.
We've split custody over periods of time. When I had the dog, uh-huh. We got the dog together, then I kept uh-huh. the dog when she moved to Denver, and then she came back, got the dog, went back to Denver, then I went to Denver, got her, and brought her and the dog back.
So constant in the relationship is the dog for you.
No, because I lived without the dog for a period of time, too, yeah. But the nice thing about those dogs is they can be as active or as lazy as you want. Like, they don't care if they just don't go for a big, long walk. You know, they don't have a ton of energy anyway.
Well, that's right. And today, I had today all day off until I got called in later this afternoon. But I ended up taking, like, a three-hour walk with my dog. And looking back on it, it was one of these things where, yeah, I took a three-hour walk with my dog, but that means I had 3 hours to do nothing at all. And that's an interesting problem to have. I know that, you know, like, Jelly doesn't have that issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I doubt Mac has that issue. But,
yeah, so...
It's good. It's a good problem to have.
So, actually, that made me think, besides me, who from CSFBL have you met in person?
Hold on, wait for it. I'm gonna go with none. Nobody of Moden. Moden's the only one.
Moden, me, and then what about Ken? I thought you met Ken.
No. So Ken, I love him to death. He's an amazing dude. When I left Seattle before I got here, I lived in Portland with a friend of his. So I've met Ken's friends, but I've actually never had a face-to-face with Ken.
It's
wild. One of these things where, yeah, he reached out and put his neck on the line and vouching for me, and, you know, I hope it went okay, but yeah, I've actually never met the dude. So, but I consider him, Trickett, Mac, you, some, like, the folks that I am closest with on the site. Whereas, like, I don't own there anymore, you know that.
Yep.
But I keep in contact with all of you. Boise, too, and obviously Dave Rowley. I love that dude. I would love for him to be out here. But other than that, like, it's pretty much those six, seven guys. And, you know, I know that I'm not necessarily the most loved person on the site, but I think it's one of those things where either you get this, my rage is empty, or you think it's real, and so either you like me or don't, but you know how that goes.
Haters gonna hate, Ben.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
You know, and you'll have to come to the next meetup, because if nothing else, and I think probably more people like you than you realize, but you're certainly entertaining.
Fine.
Let me ask you, I've mentioned it before. My favorite team name of all time is when you took over Walton's team and decided that the team was a plague and that you were going to spread it all over. And you kept to the theme because you named the team the plague. And then the first thing you did was trade every single... Am I right? Every single player on the team was different the next year, right?
Yeah, no, that's right.
You traded everybody. You spread the plague across the whole league.
So Walton, the nefarious wallet blender that he is, amazing dude, funny as hell, great on the forums, but just didn't have the time to dedicate. And the Mizzou Tigers were not necessarily the best team for a while. And so when I took them over, I was like, well, you know, this is going to be, you know, there's a expectation here, and The expectation is that this team is shitty and these players are shitty. So you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to put a shitty player on every team in the league if I can. And I went out and traded with as many people as humanly possible, and those players were everywhere. And I think that, you know, I didn't win a lot in TCL, but I was definitely competitive and did as well as I could in the moment, and spread the plague everywhere that would have me. It was one of those things where if you were okay with the trade, then you're basically going to get the CSFBL version of herpes.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
One of those things where you kiss me and here comes venereal. That's just how I live.
Yeah, you were like the HIV patient that cut his hands and ran through the mall sticking them in people's fingers.
So what you're saying is that I'm patient zero and I fucked a monkey?
You,
like, that's where...
most likely.
Okay, let's leave it at probably. I probably fucked a monkey in my life.
Possibly.
So, well, it was allegedly.
Yeah, right.
I allegedly, yeah. So.
All right. So before we start wrapping this thing up, anything sure. You want to get off your chest? Anybody you want to give a shout out to? Anything you want to promote?
I mean, honestly, no. I love the site. I love TCL dearly.
Ben,
me well.
I got to call you out for this. You've turned into Hollywood Ben here, because every name we've brought up, you've been like, they're great, they're magnificent, they're just a shining star of heaven. And that's what people in the entertainment business do. Don't sell out, man. Don't become that.
All right. You want me to do the Tupac, fuck TCL as a league, a form, and as a motherfucking crew? If you want to be down with TCL, then fuck you too.
Yeah,
all right, here we go. if that's what you want to do.
No, I'm just saying.
If you go to leg, Hollywood. Here we go. I would have put it on blast. Here we go. If you go to leg, Cymatics is one of the worst owners that ever fucking lived. And if you want to call yourself a competitive league, you should not have that man in your league on any level at all. If you want to consider yourself elite or on the level of TCL, guys like that have to go. You can't fuck around with Cymatics of the world. You can't fuck around with who do we got?
Mobius. Let's go with Mobius.
Right. So you can't fuck around with the Waltons of the world, because they just don't have the time or the inclination or the skill to put themselves in an elite competitive class. If you want to have a good community and you have different views towards what your league represents, and you want to have a little bit of everything, then absolutely those people are great. And, like, I'll name check a few people. Baraki. Baraki knows I love him. Baraki knows he's one of my favorite people on the site, that he came up with me, that I known him from NLT, and before that there was a PCL thing and all of that. Baraki was not good for a really long time. You know, it's one of those things where, like, what the fuck, the guy that I hate that lives in Oklahoma City, Kwako. Kwako is terrible. He is a guy that will not trade with you because he thinks that he's going to get one-upped on. He thinks that, okay, well, if I do this, then you want to do this, and that means that really you think that you're getting over on me, so I'm going to ask for 8, 9, 10 other things. Fuck that guy, because he just wastes your time. But if you want to have a competitive league, what I'm saying here is, if you want to have a competitive league, don't have Joe Blow. Don't have Kwako. Don't have Walton. Don't have Cymatics. Don't have Crossroad. Don't have people that are not dedicating their time to your effort. Right? If you're going to put in a lot of effort, then expect that to be returned. But if you just want to have a league where everybody's hunky-dory, have those people. That's fine. It just depends on what you want. And that's what I have to say about that.
There you go, but, man. You just stomped the yard. That's what the people were waiting for.
I feel bad because I really like Afro. I do, but he obviously doesn't have the time, the inclination, or the skill level to be in TCL. So if you want to be competitive, let Afro go. You guys have already had almost 2-3 votes on it. Just make that shit happen. If you're happy with being friends, keep them. Afro, I'm sorry. Mr. Cass, Jared, I love you. Jared, you are my friend. Afro, you are bad at this and don't have the time. Okay? You don't.
Hey,
so move on.
One last question. That is one thing I wanted to make sure I got you on record. When back in the day, when you would get mad at somebody on the forums, you'd always call them by their real name. What was that move? Was that the nuclear option?
So I know that you personally, and you and I have talked about this.
Yes.
You personally, when I would say Jason, you would
got
get
a little
weirded
creepy.
Out by it.
Yes. Well,
because you would feel like I'm taking a personal approach to an impersonal medium. Is that fair to say?
That yeah. You were doing it very deliberately.
Of course I was. No, I absolutely was. And the reason why I would name check people is that I don't know Cy Mattis's name. I don't fucking know Joe Blow's name. I didn't know Walton's name. I don't know the guy that owned the Spiders, whatever his name was. I don't know his name either.
M-Hob.
I don't know his fucking name. But I know Ken's name. I know Dave's name. I know your name. I know Russ's name. So I feel like if we're having a conversation where we are relating to each other one-to-one, and you are now in a conversation that is affecting me on an impersonal level, when I started pulling out the real name, it was too intimate that this has become a personal thing. So it was one of those things where I was not able to distinguish Baz, the forum poster, from Jason, the real-life person, and so I would just say Jason, because I know that in that moment, it makes you think about, shit, he's talking to me. There's a face behind this. I know this face. I've met this fucking face. So it's one of these things where I'm intentionally reaching through the ether and getting rid of all the extemporaneous bullshit and be like, no, I'm not talking to Baz. I'm not talking to Clone. I'm not talking to Macula. I'm talking to Jason. I'm talking to Russ. I'm talking to Isaac. I want to make sure that you know that I'm affected on a level that I'm making it personal because it has affected the way that I live, whatever your decisions were. So it's one of those things where if I took it home with me, if I thought about it in times where I didn't want to think about it, I wanted to make sure you did the same. That's why I used the name.
Now it makes more sense. At the time, it made me think that you may be capable of using my skin as a dress someday.
Well, we also had the conversation on AIM where I said that I would just randomly tell Kelly that she liked it rough and not tell her where I knew that information from.
You did. You threatened me with that. That got a little sketchy.
Well, and so to me, that's a throwaway line. So it's one of these things where I expect that when you're in, you know you're in, and that there's no malice intended. So, like, Ken has kind of warmed to that really well. He's an emotional dude. He's affected by things. But he also knows that if I tell him to eat a dick, he doesn't think that I'm actually telling him to eat a dick.
He just gets out there and eats that dick.
Yeah, that's right. He just gets it. He's like, all right, this is what Ben has to say, and I'm going to take a shot in the mouth because Ben fucking willed it to
kidding.
Be.
I'm just kidding.
No, it's one of these things where he knows that that's just the way that I choose to communicate, and it's not necessarily malice intended. Like, Macula and I had this problem for a long time. I would talk to Isaac like I was talking to Isaac, and there's certain things on the forum that don't translate well. So if I'm saying you're out of your fucking mind and everything you're doing is bullshit and you're doing it simply because you don't want a bigger problem later, but you're passing that down to me, this is fucking moronic. But me saying that to a guy in person, he could just kind of nod and be like, yeah, that's the way it is. And if you're my friend, I'll accept that. But Mac, when I'm doing that, he's still taking it as the hat wearing the hat as a community manager in CSFBL, and he's like, I'm not to fucking hear this from you, right? Like, this is bullshit, and I'm just going to filter it out, which is entirely acceptable, but illustrates that he doesn't necessarily understand how I communicate and how there's no malice, and I don't necessarily understand that just because I have no malice, the words matter. So it's one of those things where intent got washed away by the words, and I think that I'm on a much better level with a lot of those folks. And honestly, when I was calling you, Jason, I thought that you were too, but obviously that was not the case.
Well, we've come a long way since then. I think anybody that felt that way listening to you talk, I think, clears that up too. You're just fun-loving guy doing your thing. So I appreciate the time. We're at 58 minutes and 50 seconds, so let's wrap this up in the next 60 seconds to keep it under an hour.
Sure.
Thank you so much. You're one of the most entertaining guys to talk to, and I appreciate you taking an hour out to do it with me and with whoever the fuck listens.
Yeah, listen, I love you for having me on. I am honored and privileged and all of these other flatter terms that I'm not capable of coming up with now because I'm a little tipsy. I'm super happy you had me on. I'll do it anytime you want, and hopefully I offended just the right amount of people.
You're the perfect mix. I love it. All right, man. Thank you very much. Have a good night. Have one for me since I can't do it.
All right, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
Thank you, friend.
Yep, bye.
Bye.
Women knocked down, Ben hurts inside. He's gotta take a stand, he will never hide. When you hurt women, you hurt his pride. He's a real man, and he won't let it slide. Ben is a real American, fights for the rights of women. Ben is a real American, fight for what's right. He fights for her life.